women gesture more when they speak.
They call this a limp wrist. When I was younger, I used to gesture a lot, so I learned to keep my hands in my pockets. Women cross their legs when they sit, men keep their legs open. Women hold books across their chests, men hold them at their sides. Women listen to pop music, men listen to rock. Women sing to the radio, men nod along.
This is a clip from a short film called American Male. It's by Michael Rohrbaugh, and it won MTV's 2016 Look Different Creator Competition. So this film is just 6 minutes long, but it packs a punch. It's set in a frat house, which is pretty much everything you would imagine. Beer pong, drunk girls, guys with their shirts off, doing multiple shots, hazing rituals, fights. The twist is that the guy at the center of the film is clearly attracted to one of his frat brothers, and he has no idea what to do with that. Charles Monroe Kane sat down with Mark Rohrbaugh to discuss American Male.
What did it mean to be a man in your hometown?
Let's see. Growing up, I knew certain guys that would rather walk for a mile in the blazing hot sun than share a motorcycle seat with another guy or be seen doing so. Likewise, I know guys who would rather burn to a crisp than ask another guy to rub sunscreen on their back. So there were all of these different codes and all of these kind of different things that one was supposed to or not supposed to do as being a man growing up in the middle of the Midwest.
You got out of that small town, right? You moved and you went to Yale. And then you were on the swim team at Yale. Did things get better for what it meant to be a man for you?
Not necessarily. Not at first. The swim team was a lot like a fraternity, as a lot of sports are, particularly team sports. So a lot of sort of gender norms were pretty strictly enforced on the swim team. I think because the guys were running around in tiny little Speedos, they had something especially extra to prove.
And it's probably something especially extra to be afraid of, right?
Definitely, definitely. So you saw a lot of self-policing that was going on. And there was a lot of bravado that I think you find in American sports in general. For me, that was one of the reasons I ended up shying away from team sports in high school. Not because I didn't love the competition, but I didn't love the emphasis on these masculine norms. And I didn't kind of enjoy putting up a front about the person that I was supposed to be.
You're out. You're a gay man. But were you, did you know you were gay then? Or you just weren't out? Or did you not even know? I mean, what was going on in high school and college for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a slow dawning realization. I would say that I've always known. And by the same token, it was something that kind of gradually came bubbling up from my subconscious. So, yeah, it was sort of a slow dawning discovery of who I was. I always knew that I was a bit different than a lot of other guys. I mean, I knew that there was a certain attraction there to other men. Yeah, that was kind of something that I struggled with a lot growing up.
And I think it's important to remind people here, you know, like in a hypothetical situation, right? You're at Yale, you're a freshman, you're at a frat party, you've been drinking, maybe drinking a lot. There's a bro hug. The bro hug goes 1 second too long. And there could be violence in that situation.
Definitely. I mean, to some extent, for sure. Straying from these cultural gender norms is in a way tantamount to treason if you're in a certain type of setting. You know, it's interesting that you mention touch, that you mention a hug, because I feel like toxic masculinity also deprives men of intimacy with their peers, which is why you see so many grown men, to be honest, without any close friends. It deprives men of that sort of non-sexual touch with other men, the kind of touch that brings us comfort and helps engender trust. So, which is, of course, part of the reason that so many men are actually drawn to sports. Beyond the thrill of competition, many sports teams also provide men with that rare outlet to emotionally connect with other men, to hug each other after they win a game or their team wins, to cry after a big game and profess their love for each other, and, you know, even to slap each other's asses.
Right.
In American society, like, the sports field is one of the few spaces where these types of actions are permitted and even celebrated, which ironically is precisely why these spaces remain so fiercely homophobic. Hmm. Because whether they know it or not, men who don't openly identify as gay treasure the football field and the sports bar as a safe space where their masculinity and their sexuality will never be called into question, which means that they can engage in male intimacy without fearing that others will label them as gay. Alcohol provides that same excuse. It's part of the reason we see, you know, so many frat boys binge drinking, because it's the one excuse that they have to hug, you know, their friend and tell them how much they love them. Yeah, but if that hug lasts a little too long, or if it means something more than, you know, what we've culturally deemed it should mean, then you enter the danger zone.
If you could go in a time machine and go back to yourself in high school, you're not out, you know you're gay, and you could talk to yourself then, what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would tell myself that how many beers you can drink does not make a man. You know, don't try to measure your manhood by these standards that other people have set. Find a measurement that works for you. There's nothing wrong with the feminine. There's nothing wrong with the masculine. What's wrong is when we just get stuck in one mode, and when those boundaries and those lines become restrictive and oppressive. And I would just tell myself, don't take it all too seriously. Hmm. You know?
Yeah.
The whole point is to be free. So strive for that. You know?
You know, you're making a film now about masculinity in sports and LGBT issues in sports, and you're traveling around the country, you're meeting young people. There must be times where an out gay kid in Kentucky or Southern Alabama, after you film with them, must set you aside and, like, ask you for advice. I would ask you for some advice, you know? Like, what do you say to these young men when they're dealing with being gay in their small towns? Like, what advice do you give them? You're on the other side in their eyes.
I tell them to get out of Kentucky. That's what I say. I say you have to remove yourself from a situation that is not making you feel good about who you are. Some of them have very toxic relationships with their parents, and their parents are aware that they are gay and they do not accept them, and they shame them and they try to change them. And I say, as quickly as possible, remove yourself from that situation, because you need to become extremely confident in who you are. And the only way that you can do that at such a young age is to just be around people who are going to lift you up, you know, rather than tear you down.
In order to survive, a chameleon would change color to blend in with its surroundings. At a young age, I began to closely observe the people around me, the way they talked, the way they walked, what they said, where it got them. Now, I am no longer a person, but a set of social cues. Not a person, but a path of least resistance.
Michael Rohrbaugh is the director of the short film American Male. that won MTV's 2016 Look Different Creator competition. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him. And by the way, the entire film is available to watch on our website at ttbook.org.